Last week I said that we were actually into part six of a series of God's Plan of Salvation, and I said I don't know if it was going to go a seventh week or not, and it's not. We're going to start something different today. So let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. And of course, while we're in the Gospel of John, this is a good time for me to ask if anybody would like to join us in our Sunday school class. We're in the Gospel of John. We actually finished up chapter number 1 today. I think we finished chapter number 1. So we're making a pretty good pace. John chapter 3, we're going to start at verse number 1 and read a couple of verses here. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Good. Good. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, but no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, what wonderful words we read here this morning, the words of your son Jesus and this conversation that he's having with Nicodemus. And there's so much to learn from this, Lord. And so, Father, as you have selected me as your representative to this church here today, Lord, once again, I just ask that I hide behind the cross. Father, may the words that you're going to have me say here this morning fall on the minds and the hearts and the ears of all of us that need to hear your message here this morning, Father. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity of being here, and thank you for all the people that are here. And Father, when we leave here, Lord, may the word that is being spoke here this morning just make a difference in our lives. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to start off this morning with a story time with Brother Mike. And I hope you enjoy the stories that I tell. I kind of try to tell them so they kind of fit the scriptures. And this morning's story goes something like this. It was March of 1973. And all of you you're turning your clocks back and you're saying, "I know exactly where I was in March of 1973. Well, I'll tell you where Mike was in March of 1973. Mike was in technical school, actually a technical college, and I was getting ready to graduate. I was going to graduate on the 29th of March, and I had completed a 21-month program in a place called Penn Technical Institute, where I learned how to fix radios and televisions, and I learned vacuum tube technology. Who remembers vacuum tubes? Glenn, I know you remember vacuum tubes. Remember vacuum tubes, those little things? But I had to make a decision. The decision was this. I had 3 job offers when I was after I had graduated. One of them was to stay in Pittsburgh and be the assistant manager of the Radio Shack store where I worked. That was job offer number 1. Job offer number 2 was to go to Cambridge, Ohio, and work for National Cash Register. And at that particular plant, they actually made electronic cash registers. Or job offer number 3, go to Waynesboro, Virginia, and work for General Electric. Well, I guess you know the rest of the story, don't you? Well, I didn't want to stay in Pittsburgh. I wanted to move on somewhere. I needed to get away from home. You know, you can only spend but so much time at home, you know, and you need to move on. And I even remember the words of my father. He said, Mike, you didn't go to school for all this time to learn a skill to be an assistant manager at Radio Shack. Put your skills to work. Okay, well, then came Cambridge, Ohio. Cambridge, Ohio was only about 110 miles away from my home in Pittsburgh, and that wasn't too far, about a two-hour drive. So, and they were paying $3.50 an hour for technicians to go to work there in Cambridge. Waynesboro, Virginia, General Electric was 270 miles away. And that was about a five-hour drive, a little bit longer away. I'd be moving to Virginia. I'd never been to Virginia before. But General Electric was paying $3.89 an hour, which was an awful lot of money at that time. Plus, they were offering unlimited overtime. Well, actually, limited overtime. You could work up to 59 hours a week. And so I got out my calculator, because you couldn't afford a calculator in 1973. So I got out my slide rule. Some of you remember slide rules, don't you? And I figured it out, and I figured if I could work 59 hours a week at $3.89 an hour, I think General Electric in Waynesboro, Virginia is my best bet. Well, it just so happened that seven other guys that I went to school with also chose General Electric as a place to move. So I thought, okay, if they're going there, I'm going there. So I came down here. I got an apartment. They used to be called the Windsor Apartments at that time, on right off of Hopeman Parkway, just a stone's throw really away from General Electric. And I moved here to Waynesboro, Virginia. Now, you got to remember this. I was 19 years old. And growing up in a big city, Pittsburgh was the only thing that I ever knew. And then I moved to Waynesboro. There was a couple things I had to adjust to, just a few. One of them was, what do you do? What do you do? Unfortunately, General Electric put me on second shift, which made the social life thing a lot more difficult. Because Monday through Friday, there's your nights, and the only night you could do anything was Saturday night. And remember, at this time, I was still a good Catholic boy, which meant that I had to go to church Sunday morning. So to go to church Sunday morning meant you had to be careful what you did Saturday night. Then to top it all off, I found out that if there were any good-looking girls my age, they were married. It was tough for a 19-year-old socially to move to Waynesboro, Virginia. But it was a change for me, and that's the point that I'm trying to make here. There were five things that I knew were going to change about my life when I moved away from home. And that could have applied no matter where I went. It just seemed like Waynesboro was a kind of a culture shock to me. But there were five things that changed, and they all begin with the letter F. One of them was friends. I knew that if I moved away from home, all of my friends that I had, it's not that I wouldn't have them anymore, it's just that they just wouldn't be there anymore. I just couldn't call Dan or Greg or some of my friends that I had and get together and have a jam session or do whatever we did. So my friends, I'd have to make new friends if I moved away. The second thing was fun. There's a lot of places in Pittsburgh, folks, to have fun. I mean, if you are a professional sports fan like I was, you know, a half hour's drive and you're down to Three River Stadium, And there's the Steeler football, there's Pirate baseball, the Civic Arena. If you were a hockey fan, you could go to hockey. There was always something to do, plenty of shopping malls around and strip malls and places to go shopping if you're into that kind of thing. And when I moved here, it was the Center for Shopping in Waynesboro. What was it, Grant City? Grant Western Auto was there, and I think there was a Sears store there. If not, you went to the Stanton Plaza up in Stanton, and did your shopping up there. And the second thing was familiarity. I knew the streets of Pittsburgh like I knew the back of my hand. And here I am moving to Waynesboro, and I had to get to know Waynesboro, and I had to get to know Stanton. And if you wanted any kind of nightlife, there was like Harrisonburg or Charlottesville you could go to. But I remember this, getting off of Interstate 81, at which is what is now exit 222, I believe, and you take 250 into Waynesboro, the first traffic light you came to was at Hopeman Parkway. Do you remember those days? You could come all the way from Interstate 81 to Hopeman Parkway, and that was the first traffic light you came to. Now there must be at least 20 of them in between there. So familiarity was different. I had to get familiar with the area. The fourth F is family. I'd miss my family. Me and my family were very tight. My three sisters, my brother, all three of my sisters were married, and my mom and dad and in-laws and cousins and nieces and nephews, we were a very, very tight family. And I'll just be honest with you, I remember the day that I pulled away from home, I cried. Okay? Is that okay? The song that says, big boys don't cry, well, big boys do cry. Okay? I cried because I was going to miss my family an awful lot, and I'd be here where I'd have to make a new family. But the last F is this, food, okay? There's nothing like living at home, and somewhere between 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock, Irene, my mom, would have dinner on the table. And now, if I was going to make this big change in my life, and I was going to move here, there was only one place dinner was going to come from. McDonald's. McDonald's or Burger King, or they had just got done building the Bonanza in Waynesboro, if you remember Bonanza, which is now Gavid's, or I could try cooking my own meals, but having mom cook meals wasn't going to happen anymore. Mom wasn't around. Big changes I was going to have to make in my life, and I had to weigh those changes before I moved. Was I willing to give up my friends and the fun and the familiarity and the family and the food to have this new life of living on my own where I could make my own rules. I could come in at night when I wanted to. I wouldn't have my dad standing at the door, Michael, where have you been? Be a little bit of freedom, wouldn't it? I could do things on my own. I'd be doing this job at General Electric, making all this big money, and I could spend my money the way I wanted to and have this freedom. So I weighed the differences, and I said moving away was the choice that I wanted to make. That was the change that I wanted to make in my life. The analogy I want to make is this. If we follow God's plan of salvation and we become Christians, there is going to be a change in your life. And the question I ask is this. Are you willing and ready to make the change? Do you want to make the change? One of my favorite scripture verses is this, 2 Corinthians 5:17. I say it just about every week, and I always do this. I always do this little sidestep thing. The old has gone. When you are in Christ, you are a new creature. The old has gone. The new has come. The old Mike is gone. The new Mike is now here. Just like when I moved from Pittsburgh to Waynesboro, I left the old Mike behind. And this new Mike started this new life in Waynesboro, Virginia. And I'll just be honest with you, folks, I had never looked back once. I'll tell you what, if there's another Civil War, I'm going to wear gray, okay? I'm wearing gray. Hopefully that'll never happen. Although there was a little bit of friction that I had to overcome there at first. I was one of those Yankees, and they put a word in front of that word Yankees. I've been here, 35 years now. So I hope I have been here long enough to be considered one of y'all. A spiritual change is going to occur when you receive and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. The old person has gone. The new person is going to be here. You're going to be a new creature. Well, I spoke with somebody a couple weeks ago, and they said this. But Mike, I feel like I've always known Christ. Ever since I've been just a small child, I grew up in the church. I've known about Jesus, and I can't even tell you if the date or the time or what happened. I've just always known. Well, for people who fall into that category, that's okay. As a matter of fact, I'm somewhat a little envious of people like that because they have always known Christ. And so you're probably not going to see a big change in the lives of people who have known Christ from childhood. However, there are people like me out there who were 40 years old when they came to know Christ, and there's an awful lot of years of old Mike over here that has to go away. And so people like myself, and that might be you too, who have a lot of years behind you until you come to Christ, there is a transformation that a lot of people can see because it's obvious. They kind of wonder, where's the old Mike gone, or the old Gail, or the old Joni, or the old whoever it may be, and they're kind of wondering about this new person. But it's a process that we're all going to go through if we choose to decide to follow Christ. Again, the analogy, I chose to move to Waynesboro. I knew that there would be changes in my life because of that. When you choose to follow Christ, I promise you, the Holy Spirit is going to start working in your life, and there are going to be changes. The old you is not going to be around anymore. So, with that, in our bulletins, we have some fill-in-the-blanks that we're going to fill in here this morning. And let's talk about this spiritual rebirth process. And there's a process that's going to happen. And the question that I'm going to ask and start off with is this. Are you ready for a change? Because if you don't know Christ and you want to receive Him as your Lord and Savior, I promise you, there is going to be a change. And are you ready for that? So let's talk about the process and some things that have happened. And many of us, if not all of us in here, are believers. And we know that the process that we have gone through. But let's just kind of go over it once again, and let's talk about that. The first question that I ask here under the sermon notes, and again, we're talking about a rebirth spiritually, is what was our spiritual condition? Well, to find the answer to that, we're going to go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, and read verses 1 through 3, so we can fill in the blank here. And what was our spiritual condition? I'll read the three verses, then we'll fill in the blank. And the scripture says this, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed," notice that's past tense, "when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, We were by nature objects of wrath. Our first fill in the blank, we, those of us who are believers, were once dead in our transgressions and sins. Folks, when we, before we knew Christ and we were in the sinful nature, we were dead in our sins. We were spiritually dead. We were dead. And we know what it's like to be physically dead. You can do virtually nothing. When you're spiritually dead, there is nothing, absolutely nothing you can do to please God. You are dead. Romans 6:23 says this, that the wages of sin are death. It's death. The wages of sin are death. Once we sin, we have died spiritually. And we need to have a rebirth. And that's the first step. And it kind of coincides with the salvation process that we talked about, step number one. We have to realize that we have been separated from God. And we are separated from God because of our sin, because of this sinful nature, and it has separated us. So we are dead in our transgressions. We are dead. So that leads us to the second question. The second question says this, okay, if we know that we are dead in our transgressions, then what must we do? Well, let's go back to the scripture that we started off with, which is the Gospel of John. And let's read two verses out of there and help us fill in the blanks again. And some of you might already know what those answers are, and that's okay. But in verses 6 and 7 of John chapter 3, I'll repeat that because I read it earlier. It says this. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. He says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. So, the fill in the blanks for our second thing in our bulletin, what must we do? The Spirit gives birth to spirit, and we must be born again. Remember, once we have trespassed, once we have sinned, we have no spirit living within us. So the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, has to give birth to a new spirit within us. And that new spirit means that we are born again. Of course, Nicodemus kind of didn't understand there at first. He thought they meant a spiritual birth. But that's not what he was talking about. He was talking about, a physical birth. He was talking about a spiritual birth. Now, while we're on this subject, I need to point this out because some people might be slightly misled. Here's what I believe the scripture is saying here. That when it talks about water, when it talks about flesh giving birth to flesh and spirit giving birth to spirit, a lot of people think that the water, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. A lot of people think that water means baptism. And I'll tell you why it cannot mean baptism. Because if it means baptism, then that means that I would have to do something for my salvation. And isn't the cross of Calvary enough? I believe the choir sang a song along those same lines. What was the name of the song that you sang this morning? Calvary covers it all. If that means I would have to be baptized, then that means that I would have to do something. So what does it mean to be born of the water? It just means to be physically born. We are physically born. All of us in here have been physically born. But Jesus says this, we must be born again. We must be spiritually reborn. And that's what it means, and that's what the Holy Spirit does in us. It bursts a spirit inside us that we have inside. That's when we say we have God living within us. So the Spirit gives birth to spirit, and Jesus says we must be born again. Now, I don't have this in the sermon notes, and I wish I would have put this in a bulletin. So that means I want you to write this down. And I didn't make this up. Somebody else made this up. But it really has stuck with me. And I want you to write this down. If you are born once, you will die twice. A lot of you might have heard this. I'll repeat that. If you are born once, you will die twice. Second sentence. If you are born twice, you will die once. Second sentence is, if you are born twice, you will die once. Okay, what does all this mean? It means this. If we are born once, which means born of our mothers, born in our childbirth, we will die twice. If that's the only birth that we have in our lives, we are not only going to die physically, but we are also going to die spiritually, because we will die in our sins. However, if we are born twice, if we are born physically from our mothers, and then born again of the Spirit, we will only die once. We will only die the physical death. We will not die the spiritual death. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you, that is good news, is it not? Okay, so we've answered two of the questions. Let's move on to the third one. Okay, so we know that we must be born again. So how does the Spirit make us be born again? Well, let's go to 1 Peter, and a scripture I have, 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's see what this epistle has to help us answer that question. 1 Peter chapter 1, let me get it here a second. And I have verses 23 through 25. And here's what verses 23 through 25 say in 1 Peter chapter 1. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Our third fill-in-the-blank will say this. We have been born again through the living and enduring word of God. Now, sometime this year, I'm going to do a whole sermon, probably not a sermon series, but certainly a sermon on this one thing. And without getting too involved and without getting too much into Scripture, I just want to say this. I'll kind of set the stage. Folks, if you don't hear this, you don't get saved. Okay? It's that simple. I know some of you are thinking, I disagree with that. Stay tuned. We have a message coming up. There's such a thing out there, I'll just get into it real briefly, called natural theology. And the people who buy into natural theology say this: you can make it to heaven without ever hearing about Jesus Christ. Folks, that is not true. Because the Word tells us that you have been saved through the living and enduring Word of God. This is the Word of God. You don't hear the gospel, you don't get saved. Okay? Now, some people might say, Mike, I disagree with you. And that's okay. That's okay. Keep on coming back, and eventually, one of these weeks, I'll do a whole sermon on natural theology, and I'll show you from Scripture where that cannot be the case. Now, so, we know this, that we have been born again through the living and enduring Word of God. Here, just real briefly, remember the parable that Jesus taught of the sower and the seed? Okay? The seed and the crop was only going to grow under one condition: if the sower sowed it. It just wasn't going to grow by itself. Was it? It just was not going to grow by itself. It took a sower to sow it. Likewise, it takes people who are preaching and teaching the gospel to sow the seed. And that doesn't mean people like me standing in front of people like you, that means each and every one of us has the opportunity for sowing this seed into the lives of people that we come in contact with. So we're all sowers of the seed, but trust me, folks, if you don't hear the word of God, you don't get saved. It's that simple. Now, let's move on to our fourth and final point, and the question is this: what happens once we are born again? And there's a little book in the Bible called Titus. It's only three little chapters, and it comes after 1 and 2 Timothy. So if you find the Timothys, just keep on going one more book to the right. And a little book called Titus. And let's go to chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 4 through 8. And to answer this question, okay, what was our spiritual condition? We were dead in our sins. What must we be do? We must be born again. Question number 3, how does the Spirit make us born again? We hear and listen to and believe in the enduring Word of God, which is the Bible. Then the fourth step, what happens once we are born again? And Titus chapter 3, starting at verse 4, and I'll read that to you, says this: but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that all who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Our fourth fill in the blank, what happens once we are born again? We devote ourselves to doing what is good. Now, in our pre-saved person, the pre-saved Mike, remember, there was nothing that I could do to please God. There was no spirit inside me. God transforms my life. I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now there's a new Mike, and now God kind of expects me to do good things. He wants me to devote myself to doing what is good. Well, what are those good things that I need to be doing? Well, I have good news for you today. We're going to talk about that next week. I'm actually going to not preach very long today. I heard some comments that were said at movie night last night. When in the movie, there was the man who, as the priest was trying to deliver his sermon, there was a man snoring out there. And somebody, and I don't know who that somebody was, but I believe he's in here, and his initials are Romy Falls, but said, that's just like Pastor Mike on Sunday morning. I love you, Romy. But I took the comment to heart, and I realized that I can get kind of winded sometimes. But I get excited about what I do. But we're going to talk about over the next couple weeks the good things that God wants us to do now that we are these new creatures. Granted. Getting back to the story that I started off with, the old Mike who lived in Pittsburgh, moved to Waynesboro, Virginia, and not that I was spiritually transformed, I was physically transformed, and there were things that I just had to do a little bit different. Likewise, in our spiritual life, when the old Mike or the old Gail or the old Dan becomes this new person, there are things that we start doing different. And over the next couple weeks, that's what we're going to talk about. And we'll address them all individually. So with that, let's go to God in prayer.